D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
It is the most spectacular, astonishing thing that the world has ever known. We are a visited planet.
There's more Jews who believe in Jesus today than at any time since the first century, and maybe even more.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a viewer-supported program of D. James Kennedy Ministries. My name is Frank Wright. As we enter the Christmas season, the name of Jesus is once again upon the lips of millions. Even in our increasingly secular culture, most understand that the Christmas celebration is about the birth of Jesus of Nazareth. But as the culture has progressively become biblically illiterate, far fewer can answer the important question, who is this Jesus whose birth we celebrate? Joining us today is Dr. Sam Lamerson, president of Knox Theological Seminary, which was founded by Dr. Kennedy. Dr. Lamerson also serves there as professor of New Testament. Sam, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you with us
today.
It
is my pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is, of course, the season in which all the specials pop up.
It is.
About who Jesus is, and invariably those documentary-type things are very incomplete. They're often very biased about him. What's wrong with most of the things we see this time of year as it relates to the historical Jesus?
Well, one of the problems this time of the year, and it happens because of our culture, we have made Christmas this gigantic holiday. And as we go on and on, Easter becomes a much, much smaller holiday. Uh-huh. And that's exactly the opposite of the New Testament. The New Testament wants to tell us about Jesus' birth, and it's a wonderful and exciting thing. It's important. But it's not nearly as important as the resurrection. And anyone who tells the story of Jesus leaving off his resurrection has really not told the whole story.
So a Christmas celebration that doesn't point forward to a day of great joy, the risen Christ, is an incomplete celebration at best.
Absolutely. There's no reason for us to be happy at Christmas time were it not for the fact that we can stand in the empty tomb of Jesus and realize that one day we who trust in him will be resurrected. That's the joy of Christmas, because a Savior has come to us who died and was resurrected on our behalf.
If you had to pick one thing, what is it that makes Jesus absolutely unique among all other religious figures in world history?
All of the other figures of world history died. And you can go today, and you can go and you can see their tomb. If you go to Jerusalem and want to see the tomb of Jesus, it's empty. That is what makes Jesus absolutely unique. Not the fact that he was born of a virgin, although that's important. The thing that makes him absolutely unique as the Savior of his people is the fact that he came, he was put into the tomb, and 3 days later, he rose again. And we know that. There's nothing in ancient history that is more certain than the resurrection of Jesus. And anyone who denies the truth of the resurrection must become a historical agnostic, because the evidence is overwhelming for that resurrection. Mm.
So the resurrection is proof of his divinity and proof that the sacrifice he made was an acceptable one to God. They're both closely connected.
Absolutely. Always closely connected. And his resurrection is what allows us to have hope in the future. If not for the resurrection of Jesus, we couldn't enter into Christmas without any sort of a happy time. All it would be is just, well, let's give each other presents and move on, and eventually we die. But because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, we enter into this time and say, God sent to us a wonderful, wonderful gift, and that gift is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ.
The errors about Jesus are predictable. The scripture says there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything, though, in your studies recently, is there any twist or subtlety about the person of Christ that's less than a biblical understanding that we ought to be aware of?
You might be familiar with a book that's on the New York Times bestseller list that claims Jesus was a zealot, for example. And that goes to a misunderstanding. Many of those who expected the Messiah in the first century expected him to be a militaristic leader who overthrew Rome. And that's what the zealots were. They were a sort of a group of what sort of Israelite patriots who wanted to overthrow Rome. The problem with seeing Jesus as a zealot is twofold. First, the zealots as a political party didn't really begin until A.D. 67, long after Jesus had died and been resurrected. And the second is that Jesus goes out of his way to explain to his disciples and to those that are around him that his kingdom is not of this world. He's not here to overthrow the Roman government. He's here to do something much more important than that, and that is to overthrow sin and to give us eternal life.
Well, Sam, thanks so much for being with us.
It is my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Our Christian faith rests upon a sure foundation, the Word of God. And one of the greatest evidences of the trustworthiness of the Scriptures is the Bible itself. While written over a 1,500-year period in three distinct languages and cultures and penned by 40 different writers, the Bible is a unity. And it tells one consistent story from beginning to end. Only God, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable, could arrange a story like that. For example, as my friend and mentor, Dr. D. James Kennedy, liked to point out, you can see an incredibly detailed account of the life and crucifixion of Jesus in the Old Testament, the Old Testament book of Isaiah, written 7 centuries before Christ was born. Here's Dr. Kennedy with more.
One theologian said that he had never known any Christian who denied the virgin birth that wasn't off on many other aspects of the life, person, and work of Jesus Christ. Yes, it is an important matter, my friends. It goes all the way back to the very beginning, when the promise, the protevangelium, the first evangel, the first gospel was given, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. That's the only place in the Bible where anyone is ever called of a woman. It is always someone who is begotten by a man and never by a woman, other than this one singular exception. Someone was coming who would be the seed of a woman. Now, does the Bible teach such a thing? Well, we've seen it right in Isaiah, where there are more than 25 prophecies concerning Christ written over 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. That's why it's sometimes called the Gospel of Isaiah. No one can say that the text was ever changed. In fact, the scroll of Isaiah was the only scroll that was found complete in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which was copied before Christ was born. I've seen the copy, read parts of it in Jerusalem. And here we have such things as, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." Or, "A child is born, a son is given." You notice the child was born, the son was given. It was the Son of God who came and who was incarnated in human flesh in the womb of Mary. "Who shall be called the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God." The Mighty God is going to be born into human life. It is the most spectacular, astonishing thing that the world has ever known. We are a visited planet. The creator of the galaxies has visited this world, and he came, astonishing to say, the creator, to die for the creature's sin. It's interesting, I think, that there is no doubt that there was one person on this earth who absolutely, positively, 1,000% knew whether or not Jesus was born of a virgin. and that was Mary. That was the same Mary that raised this little boy to manhood, the same Mary that loved him with a love like any other mother would have for her son, the same Mary that came to Calvary and looked up into the face of her dear, dear beloved son, who was agonizing on those spikes on the cross. She, all by herself, could have stopped that. Why was he being crucified? Because he claimed to be the Son of God. She could have said, "Stop! And I'll tell you who his father was." It was whatever name you want. Is there any mother, to save her own reputation, who would watch her son die horribly, agonizingly, excruciatingly, comes right out of the word for cross, and say nothing? There is none. And yet, she said nothing, because she absolutely knew that he was born of a virgin, and that he was, as Gabriel said, the Son of God. And so he came and was born in Bethlehem. Wonder of wonders, my friends. If you don't know him this day, you can meet him this very hour. He is willing to come into your heart, to be born in you. The same Holy Spirit that caused him to be born in Bethlehem will cause him to be born in your heart. You say, "Well, he could never come into my heart because I am too vile, guilty of too many sins. Why, if I confess them all here, nobody would have anything to do with me." Dear friends, he was born in the stench and vileness of a stable, not a plaster of Paris stable, but a real stable with real animals and real dung and real stench. Yes, he would be willing to come into your heart and forgive you for your sins, cleanse you and change your life forever, and take you into paradise when you leave this world, and give you the absolute knowledge that Christ has been born of you, in you, and you have been born again. I would ask you today, have you been born again? I talked to a man recently who knew a great deal about the time and circumstances of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. But he didn't know that Christ was born in him. How about you, my friend? Has he been born in your heart? Have you become a new creature in Jesus Christ? He offers eternal life freely as a gift to those that will put their trust in him alone and cease trusting in their own supposed goodness. And freely, gratuitously, they will be granted paradise, paid for by Christ, offered freely to us. If you do not know that assuredly, I urge you, this day, this hour, invite him to come in. It will be the most glorious, wonderful day of your entire life. Nay, of your entire eternity. May we pray. O Christ, make us thy Bethlehem, we pray. For any who are here this very moment who don't know that they have been born again, may they hear your words, O Christ, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. May some say, Lord Jesus Christ, I am a sinner, I am unworthy, you know my heart, you search it. You know every sin, most of which I have forgotten. And yet you're willing to forgive me and cleanse me and make me anew. Come. Come, Lord Jesus Christ, into my life right now. I open my heart to you. I invite you to be my Savior and my Lord. I cease to trust in my own supposed goodness and place my trust in you alone. And I accept your marvelous gift of life never ending. In thy name, amen.
If you just prayed that prayer with Dr. Kennedy sincerely from your heart, then you have already had an encounter with the living God. And to help you grow in your new relationship, we want to send you Beginning Again, the book that Dr. Kennedy wrote for new believers. It will help you learn how to read and study God's Word, as well as how to pray and share your faith with others who need to know what you have just experienced. To receive your copy of Beginning Again, just write to our address or call our toll-free number.
While many family and church traditions characterize our Christmas celebrations, perhaps it is the Star of Bethlehem that exemplifies it the best. By the light of that star, we came to know that a Savior is born who is Christ the Lord. His arrival transformed human history forever, and the powerful good news of his coming continues to transform lives today, as you're about to see.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Bernis, President and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries International. Thank you so much.
Rabbi Jonathan Bernis heads a worldwide ministry based in Phoenix, dedicated to proclaiming that Jesus is the Messiah for all. He wrote the book, A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth.
Tell us about your background religiously.
Well, I grew up, Jerry, in a Jewish home, a nominal Jewish home, which is typical of 90% of the Jewish community in the United States. I went to synagogue often on Shabbat when I turned 8 or 9 to begin to prepare for my bar mitzvah. I learned all about the history of our people, that we were the chosen people, that we brought the revelation of the one true God of Israel to the world. But I never learned about what it meant to have a relationship with God. So God for me was just this distant entity who did great things back in our history, but now was unreachable.
After your bar mitzvah, did you rebel at all from the moral upbringings that you had?
I did. Move on to college. I'm searching. Have this void, as everyone does, that needs to be filled. And that led to drugs, it led to cults, it led to the occult, searching in all the wrong places, anything but Jesus. You can believe in anything or nothing and be Jewish, but can't believe in Jesus.
You're growing up and you're basically, bottom line is, anything is available but Jesus.
And my life really started to change through a girlfriend's life that was changed. She was born again, delivered of drugs, and she made me her target, her project. And began to ask me the typical questions of evangelism explosion. Why are you here on this earth? What's going to happen to you after you die? What would you say to God if you were at the gates of heaven to get in? And I didn't have an answer to any of those things.
So bring us back to the moment of decision or the turning point in your life when you're with this girlfriend and she keeps telling you about Jesus.
She didn't give up on me. She had her Bible study praying. She had her congregation praying. Everybody was praying for me. Little did I know this, I was being pulled. And I eventually went to a Bible study with her. And I really had a supernatural experience. I didn't see anything. I didn't hear anything. But I felt separated from God. The room got bright and very warm. I began to sweat. And something, some battle inside of me, I knew was happening. And I just knew that I knew that I was separated from God. And I prayed a prayer that night, this was almost 31 years ago, where I asked Jesus to take away my sins, come into my life. And it was really a heart prayer. It was from my heart.
Jonathan Burness discovered that Christianity was not at odds with being Jewish, as he had been taught. In fact, it was perfectly consistent. He discovered that on the first page of the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1.
When I saw Abraham, the father of the Jewish people, Abraham is a monumental figure in Judaism. When I saw David, King David, the greatest king in the history of Israel, it blew my mind. I was taught that this was the book of the Christians. It had nothing to do with Judaism, and here are the greatest patriarchs of our faith were on page 1 in the first verses of the New Testament.
Fast forward to today, and Rabbi Jonathan Burness is delighted to share Messiah Jesus with all who will hear.
There's more Jews who believe in Jesus today than at any time since the first century, and maybe even more. So our ministry, Jewish Voice Ministries, is dedicated to go anywhere in the world where there's Jewish people open to hear the gospel. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to proclaim the good news, for it's the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile.
As you've just seen, Jonathan Burness is a Jewish man who came to believe in Christ because someone gave him a Bible, and as he read it, he found the Messiah. The transforming power of Christ comes to us through His Word and through the preaching and teaching of His Word. This Christmas, we want you and those around you to experience the power of that Word in all its fullness. We have two exciting new resources to help you with that, and my very dear friend Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy is here to tell us more. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. It's that time of year when even in department stores and on secular radio stations, we hear songs about Jesus Christ. And yet, so many around us have no idea who Jesus really is or the power He can have in our lives. With 2016 just around the corner, we want you to experience the new year rooted in Christ and to help you share Him with others. We have just released a brand new 365-day devotional book drawn from the teachings of my father, Dr. D. James Kennedy. This beautiful devotional, co-written by Dr. Jerry Newcomb, is called Strength for Today, and it will provide you with an entire year's worth of powerful, uplifting, life-changing biblical insights. For a limited time, we'll send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org. And as you give, you'll be helping us to meet our financial goals in the final days of this year and head into 2016 on a strong footing, ready to preach the gospel and proclaim God's word during a pivotal election year. And if you're able to give a donation of $75 or more, we'll send you the Strength for Today devotional, plus two copies of a 2-DVD set of my father's most powerful evangelistic messages called What's So Amazing About Jesus? Keep one for yourself and give the other set away to someone else so they can hear the life-changing good news. That's two copies of the 2-DVD set, What's So Amazing About Jesus? Plus the new 365-day devotional, Strength for Today, when you give a generous donation of $75 or more. And I have some exciting news. A number of generous friends of this ministry have established a $100,000 matching gift. Every donation you give right now, up to the $100,000 in the fund, will be essentially doubled. If you give $100, we get $200. If you give $1,000, we get $2,000. And if you give nothing, we do not get the matching gift. So please, consider giving a generous donation to help us finish the year strong.
Simply write to us at Box 6085, Albert Lea, Minnesota 56007, or call toll free 888-334-9762, or go online to djameskennedy.org.
Imagine that it's the year 2700, nearly 700 years from now, and America has a new president. Would you care to predict where this future leader will be born? If not, I certainly understand. It's impossible to look seven centuries ahead and predict the exact city where a future ruler will be born. Yet that is exactly what the ancient Jewish prophet Micah did some 700 years before Mary gave birth to Jesus. He not only predicted it, he wrote it down for all posterity. Micah said that the tiny backwater town of Bethlehem would be the place out of which one to be ruler in Israel would arise. Other Old Testament prophets tell us that the Messiah, or the Anointed One, will be born of a virgin, be a descendant of King David, spend time in Egypt, and have his hands and feet pierced as he offered his life a ransom for many. All told, there are more than 300 statements in the Old Testament that foretell specific details about the birth, life, death, and resurrection of the Messiah, and they are all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. There is simply no one like him. We still measure time by his coming into the world, and his arrival changed everything. Christmas, of course, is a time of celebration as we look around at the decorations and hear the songs and attend the parties. We are reminded that we see and understand everything by the light of his coming. Even those who don't know him find themselves celebrating Jesus at this time of year. How great will be their joy if they come to know Jesus personally. And how will they hear that the babe of Bethlehem is also the Lord of glory unless we tell them? I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for being with us on Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
And his name is that one name which, if the world could do it, would be stamped out forever. It is now continually being removed from the public square.
America has always been a pluralistic culture in the sense that people are free to believe what they want to believe. But the mindset in the 21st century is that all beliefs are equally valid.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.